trust the guy. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor at Denver Bible Church. Our church is moving. By the way, we're attempting to purchase a facility, Lord willing, with God's blessing. Even though we're a small homeschool church, our families, for the most part, they're all single income families because mom is home with the kids. We've got a lot of young kids. So we're trying to purchase a church, and that's a challenge for single income family churches. But please pray for us that we'll be able to do that. There's a lot to share with you today. We have at the Capitol right now, there's a hearing on Democratic legislation in Denver, Colorado, an anti-Brady bill. You know, the Brady Amendment that we've introduced says that the definition of a person includes the unborn child for the purposes of the Colorado Criminal Code and the Wrongful Death Act, right? For those two areas. So you know how a person is used in the law to also refer to corporations. And so that makes things complicated, right? The left, liberals, those in rebellion against God, they love to obfuscate and complicate things so that they can use confusion as part of the cloak to disguise their wickedness, their intentional killing of the innocent. So at the Capitol right now, there's a hearing on what is a person for Colorado's Wrongful Death Act, and it explicitly defines a person as excluding the unborn child. So last year, the Democrats, we think it's the first time in history, Planned Parenthood supported a fetal homicide bill, which passed, what was it, 1194, something like that. And why did they support a fetal homicide act? It's because in Colorado, there's a vibrant personhood movement, and so they need to respond. So they said, okay, there's more penalties if you kill a baby in the womb, but this doesn't define the fetus as a person. That's what they said. Although they did say that the fetus was a living human being in the law that's on the books right now. That's pretty amazing. So today, they want to cover the second base. The Brady Amendment deals with the definition of a person for the Colorado Criminal Code and for the Wrongful Death Act. And so today's legislation by the Democrats is to say, for the purposes of Colorado's Wrongful Death Act, a person does not include an unborn child. I'm paraphrasing. And so is it a coincidence that there are two abortion laws that they have promoted in last year and this year have to do with the two areas of law that the Brady Amendment covers? Of course, it's not a coincidence. And so the Brady Amendment is on the ballot in Colorado. There's a personhood amendment on the ballot in North Dakota this year. This will be three times in Colorado, now once in Mississippi, once in North Dakota. Five statewide ballots, elections for what? Since Amendment 48 in Colorado since 2008. So praise God for the personhood movement. Also want to tell you there is inside baseball here. For the Bob and Your Life studio, some inside baseball. Today was a milestone. We're attempting to produce, we are producing, with God's help, Lord willing, a three DVD set on our Global Flood seminar, the Global Flood and the Hydroplate Theory. And we have the latest part of that project, the milestone we completed today. After the seminar was recorded, videotaped, and on high def, of course, and the slides that were presented at the seminar in Indianapolis were edited into the video. But because it's a video, you don't have a choice of whether to look at a slide or look at the speaker. You know, it's one or the other. And so to turn it into a DVD, you need more slides. So for the disc three, we added 120 slides to the presentation. So that part of the project, that's already been accomplished for disc one. Didn't require that many slides though. Disc two, and now disc three. So now the editing house is in Warsaw, Indiana, Tommy Stills. And Tommy is now working on disc three. And Lord willing, by the end of April, we will have, and it won't be our final version, but it'll be available. People could purchase the draft version of the Real Science Radio Global Flood Seminar, a three DVD set. And one benefit of getting the draft version is you help fund the continuation of the project. And also, if you see things that should be edited, you can have editorial input into the final project because we need your input. We need many eyes, you know, looking at a problem, looking at a project, and finding the best way to present things. And in fact, you could pre-order that if you'd like to order it. It's $50 for the three DVD set, and that's the Real Science Radio Global Flood Seminar on DVD. Okay. Thursday night, we mentioned this yesterday, I interviewed a pediatrician, professor of pediatrics at Toronto University, founder of the, what was it, the St. Louis Children's Medical Center, NICU, the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit. So I got to interview Dr. Paul Byrne yesterday for the second time. And during that interview, I mentioned that on Thursday night last week, just 5 days ago, I was at DU, University of Denver, at an ethics panel that was moderated by former Governor Dick Lamb. And he was the moderator. There were four panelists. I'd like to share some of the things that came up during that panel discussion. It was, as Susan Sutherland put it online, she was there. There were half a dozen pro-lifers there, activists, and maybe about 75 people in the audience. She said, Bob Enyart did not mince any words. And I think that's true because I was just blunt. And at one point, Dick Lamb, he's supposed to be the moderator. He couldn't stay out of it. He totally injected himself into the panel discussion, basically to debate me, to argue with me. And so he said, well, when we withdraw artificial nourishment and hydration, and I said, Governor, do you mean food and water? He said, well, yes. Well, then why don't you guys say food and water? Because when little Dylan Walborn, who was a patient with Denver's Children's Hospital, who's handicapped, when he was dying, if the Denver Post would have reported that they've decided to deny Dylan food and water, you know, people would have connected better with what was going on. But you guys and your medical board policies in the law, when you guys talk to one another, when you speak, you say, well, you know, it's time to withdraw artificial nourishment and hydration. Don't you mean food and water? He said, yes, food and water. Well, why don't you say that? There's a reason they don't say that, right? Of course, there's a reason. And it was rather intense. A woman came up to me afterward. There was a reception right there at DU. We were in a small auditorium. Right afterward, out in the lobby, there was beautiful, what a spread of food and wine, an open bar. You know, wine, beer, whatever, bartender. And it was all free for the public. General, just walk in and eat, all you can drink. Get drunk for all they care, and it's free. I mean, I tell you, people at DU there, they got a lot of money. When you specialize in remedial English for American students, that apparently attracts a lot of funds. So this woman came up to me determined to be polite and gracious, which makes sense. You're at a reception. And she said, Mr. Enyart, I want to thank you for participating in today's event. And I want to let you know it was totally inappropriate of you to call the governor a liar in the program. I said, well, Lynn, thanks for coming up and speaking to me. And let me ask you, does it matter if he was lying? Does it matter if he was lying? And she said, no, it was inappropriate. Now, inappropriate is, let's say you're at a nice meal and you use your salad fork for your dessert. You know, that's inappropriate. So I said, Lynn, does it matter if he was lying? And she said, no. She was angry. And I said, you mean the former governor of a state moderating an event on who you can kill, a life and death public policy issue, you would give the governor of the state a pass to lie at a life and death event? You would sweep it under the rug. And she said, it's inappropriate to call the governor a liar. So I, you know, there was no purpose in taking it further with her because that's as far as it had to go. So I thanked her for her input. And so obviously she would sweep it under the rug. I asked her, does it matter to you if he's lying? No. So I've said on this show, and it's not only liberals, it's not only Democrats. Believe me, it's Republicans. People want to be lied to by their own side. They want to be lied to. Jesus Christ is someone you could trust. You can trust Jesus Christ. Can you trust our politicians? They're going to lie. So, well, why would Dick Lamb be a liar? In fact, it wasn't only Dick Lamb. It was also two of the other three panelists. They also were lying. Here's how I'd say they were lying. In fact, one was Ian Farrell. He's from Australia, I think, and he's an attorney. He's a professor, in fact, at DU, law professor. And then there was, and Dick Lamb, he was the moderator. And then there was Charles Hamlin, who's a board member of the Hemlock Society. Now, they, you know, for marketing reasons, they changed their name to Compassion and Choices. Compassion and Choices. Sort of like a pro-choice, like a child-killing thing. And so here's what they were arguing. They were arguing in favor of decriminalizing physician-assisted suicide. Now, it's already legal in Colorado, physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia, non-voluntary euthanasia, and physician-assisted non-voluntary euthanasia. It is currently legal. And in fact, you could go back to 1998. I quote it from the medical board policies, part of the Colorado State Government Department of Regulatory Agencies. And so it's been legal to intentionally kill patients in those contexts that I just named since not only 1998, but before that. But then there it was on paper. They argued that they're supporting something that is voluntary, physician-assisted suicide. So the patient has to desire death. They have to want to be put to death. And by the way, these people are all against executing convicted mass murderer rapists. They're against that. God said you execute the guilty and you protect the innocent. They, to a man and a woman, will protect the guilty and they will execute the innocent. They'll kill the innocent. Given any opportunity, any excuse. And so they said, what we support is it has to be voluntary. It has to be adults. And you have to have a terminal illness. That's what they were talking about. So, and Charles Hamlin, sitting next to me repeatedly during the event, he said he doesn't want to talk about actual cases. He just wants to talk about what the law is. That's rather convenient, right? Because if the law destroys the lives of countless people, that's not relevant to a public policy discussion, according to Hemlock Society member Charles Hamlin, board member. I think on the national board, right, that guy? So anyway, I had already pointed out that they were changing the definitions of words, because if you have a patient and you then stop giving him food and water, so you starve him to death, with the 1984 George Orwell newspeak we have going on. They say that's not suicide. It's not euthanasia. It's not killing the patient. And they've actually defined it. In our state regulatory agencies, the Board of Medical Examiners has defined it in writing so that when you withdraw artificial nourishment and hydration, it's not euthanasia. It's not physician-assisted suicide. I wonder if you hold the patient's nose and put your hand over their mouth. I guess that would also not be euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide, right? Because food, water, oxygen, air—they're all pretty necessary to keep a patient alive. You'd call it, you know. I have a former paramedic here who's my board operator, Wally, and he says that it's called murder. So at any rate, they said it's got to be voluntary. It's got to be an adult, and you got to have a terminal illness. So I said, well, the case of Dylan Walborn falsifies all three of those. And will any of you join me in criticizing Children's Hospital because their ethics board at Denver Children's Hospital advised Dylan Walborn's parents, he was a 4-year-old handicapped child. You could go to dylanwalborn.com. Read all about it from the pages of the Denver Post. They chronicled the last 21 days of Dylan's life. 20 days, was it? How he died. His mother had a hard time. They weren't supposed to give him food or water, and she'd give him little tiny sips for 3 weeks, but no food, and he died. And I said that he was not an adult. It was not voluntary. It was non-voluntary. And he was not terminally ill. He had a disability. He had a serious disability. He had what? Down syndrome? Severe case. The CEO of the ARC thrift stores, you know the ARC thrift stores, American, what does that stand for? ARC? It's a disabilities organization. And you go to their thrift store and it raises money. The CEO of that group, I don't, national or at least the Colorado group, came to me afterward and said, thank you for mentioning Dylan Walborn. He said, I have a son who has Down syndrome, and these kids are thought of as a burden on society. And increasingly, the medical community and our culture just wants to get rid of them. That's the Dick Lamb public policy, duty to die, Dick. That's their public policy increasingly. So anyway, I asked Charles Hamlin and I also asked Ian, the professor, law professor at DU, Ian Farrell from Australia, and Dick Lamb. I asked them, would you publish an article criticizing Denver's Children's Hospital for telling the parents to stop giving food and water to little Dylan because that killed him, and it's not consistent with your three requirements that it has to be voluntary, has to be adults, and it has to be someone suffering from a terminal illness. So would you guys criticize, would you write an article? And their answer was no. I forget if I asked Ian Farrell. I think I did. But I definitely asked Charles Hamlin and Dick Lamb, and they refused. And is that a surprise? Of course, it's not a surprise. And so calling Dick Lamb a liar, he's advocating his position is it should be legal to kill a patient in Colorado. Medical homicide should be decriminalized, but he believes it should only be for adults and voluntary and for terminal illness. And he is a liar because he supports the starving to death of a handicapped child at Denver's Children's Hospital. Dick Lamb is not only a child killer, he's a liar. But hey, don't those go together? Hand in glove, don't they? right? If what did Jesus say about Satan? He's a murderer and a liar. And so if you will kill the innocent, God said in the Bible, do not kill the innocent. I mean, that's a verbatim Bible verse. Do not kill the innocent. And I started my opening comments, about 5 minutes worth, included that Bible verse, do not kill the innocent. But they live to kill the innocent. I mean, this is one of Dick Lamb's signature issues, is who can you kill? And he's a liar when he lays out his groundwork, just like when he introduced back in 1967, in Colorado, Dick Lamb introduced he was then a state representative, and he decriminalized abortion in Colorado for rape, incest, life, health, those kinds of issues. And of course, he wanted to make it legal to kill a child in the womb for any reason whatsoever. But it's a facade, right? They get the camel's nose under the tent. And why do you want to keep the camel's nose out from under the tent? Why? The slippery slope. Well, you're already down the slippery slope when you're deciding what innocent people you can kill. And so they're liars. They're simply liars. And I think it was Charles Hamlin said, well, you know, with a brain dead diagnosis, you're brain dead. You're dead. You are not recovering. No one has ever recovered from being diagnosed as brain dead. So I said, well, wait a minute. I had the founder of the St. Louis Neonatal Intensive Care Unit on the show. He's an expert on this. We listed all the cases of family members of people who were diagnosed as being brain dead at leading hospitals, and then they recovered. They recovered. Did one guy write a book? We have a whole list of cases like this, and we're adding to it this week to the list with the research we've done since that Thursday night event. And so one guy wrote a book. Was he diagnosed as brain dead? No, he was diagnosed as being in a coma, and he heard everything. In fact, we have a separate list of doctors can't even get a coma right. If you can't get a coma right, there are all these people who are said to be in comas, and they're not in a coma. They're alert. They're aware. They just can't respond. So this one guy finally, one doctor, after many years, realized that he was in there. The patient was in there. You know, the ghost in the machine, he was in there, and he found a way to communicate with him, and the guy was able to type with one toe, and he wrote a whole book with his toe. And so if they can't get comas right, they're not going to get brain death right. And sure enough, people have been diagnosed being brain dead. So the Hemlock Society board member, Charles Hamlin, he did take me up on, he said he would donate $10,000 if we could document someone recovering from being brain dead. So what do you think? Do you think he'll pay? Assuming we could document that, right? Because I said to them, assuming it's true, if we could document it, so do you think he'll pay? Do you think he's a man of his word? And he's the same one I mentioned to Dr. Paul Byrne yesterday, who I asked him. This was right after the event. He was talking to one of his friends. Everybody's milling about for an hour and a half. People stayed around and talked. And so I went up to him and asked to clarify, Charles, if hospital officials are telling family members that, for example, in this one case in London, their teenage son in a terrible accident, that he's brain dead and we need to harvest his organs, and the father refused, and a couple days later, the kid begins to recover. He wakes up, and a few months later, he walks home almost fully recovered. I said, Charles Hamlin, do you think it's a tragedy? Is it a tragic event when doctors are giving a diagnosis to 16-year-old, about a 16-year-old patient that he's brain dead when they're wrong and that patient wakes up and then walks home? Is that a tragedy? And he grinned and he said to his friend, well, I'll tell you, 16-year-old organs are pretty good organs. They're child killers. They're liars. So that is, he's admitting it, right? And he doesn't even feel like he has to hide it all that deeply. He's admitting it. Hey, so what if this teenager could live a long, full life? So what? We could transfer his organs, and that's what we're about. We're utilitarians. In fact, the attorney even mentioned John Stuart Mill's and his utilitarianism. He mentioned John Stuart Mill's, and I wasn't able to respond to that at the time because of the time constraints. But that's the greatest good for the greatest number of people. So let's say you have a minority and they have a lot of money in your country, and you kill them and take their resources. Well, some people would say that's doing the greatest good for the greatest number of people. You see, whereas Jesus Christ said, do not kill the innocent. You see the difference? The one is this equation, which is impossible. It's impossible to do the math for the greatest good for the greatest number of people. Nobody could calculate that. Right and wrong has nothing to do with math. Nothing to do with math. If you're curious about that, you could probably go to AmericanRightToLife.org/Einstein. I think you could learn about that concept there. Or realscienceradio.com/math. You'll learn about that when you're trying to figure out a principle of right or wrong, it has nothing to do with math. So at any rate, the greatest good for the greatest number of people, hey, that really opens up a lot of opportunities, huh? Doesn't it? Think of the good you can do with the money you steal from a wealthy neighbor. Think of all the people you could help. So there goes God's command, thou shalt not steal, and God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder. There they go. Remember Ronald Reagan had his 11th commandment, speak no evil against another Republican? But that undid the first 10. Did you notice that?